Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 479. Science Faction, I call BS.
Oh, God, I've missed this. I know that even the United Nations classifies what you do to me as cruel and unusual punishment, as even a breach of the Geneva Convention. However, in these crazy times, this cruel and inhumane treatment that you give me on this show is still the only contact I get, so I miss it.
Damien, actually, I forgot to tell you that the Geneva Convention has been updated since it was written, and you are now allowed to educate the mentally impaired.
That sounds unconstitutional in some way. That sounds...
All right, and speaking of unconstitutional, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
You can't make me learn. You're not my dad. You're not my real dad.
Stop being defiant, Damien.
I can't.
Oh, and for those of you guys who are avid listeners and love I Call BS, remember, pretty soon we will be switching to I Call BS being a Patreon-only episode. You don't have to put in a lot, just a tiny bit. But that will also allow us to get a little bit weirder with I Call BS, because we'll know everybody there are fans and not just the people clicking in that we want to impress. So
I'm playing with my dick out from here on out.
Yeah, from like our real, what you would call dick out comedy will be done on I Call BS. And we will still, like, I'm not saying the whole dick will be kept in the pants for the regular, you know, Monday episode, but at least most of the stem.
What if the fans, the Patreons, want me to win?
I Call BS?
You know, yeah, what if they
want... I would love for you to do that. Yeah, a lot of them write me letters on a regular basis.
What if they want to see the apartheid government that is your reign in I Call BS?
Okay, Damien, and... I will tell you what. I will make you a deal here now. I hadn't even thought about this, but I will make you a deal. If you get a perfect score... on today's I Call BS.
Today's?
Yes. If you get a perfect score on today's I Call BS, from now on, you get to pick the I Call BS questions.
Oh, you were going over the questions beforehand, mm-hmm. like, you know, but a little peek behind the fourth wall pants before we go. Bobby doesn't give me the answers, but he does, like, read me the question.
Right before we
He doesn't let me see them. Yeah, just like 10 seconds before we hit record and start this episode, he just kind of briefly goes through. So that's my first exposure to any of this material. So if you're wondering why the comedy sucks, blame the system.
You get the notes of the other episode the day before, and you're not really any funnier. So,
that's a fair argument.
All right, let's get right on to I Call BS.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I Call BS.
All right, article number one. Genetically modified mosquitoes will be released in the U.S. for the first time ever in an attempt to eradicate dengue carrying mosquitoes. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. It's actually a big deal because we want them to be a type of mosquitoes that stop malaria. Uh-huh. But basically, the planes are already in the air. You know, the dengue mosquitoes are already out there. You can't turn them around.
So it's an accident. So, yeah. Wait, we're trying to eradicate malaria in America, the disease we eradicated like 100 years ago?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's prevention efforts. Keep it, like, for example, we thought polio was gone and that came back. We thought measles was gone. That came back.
Damien, this is indeed science. So we've talked about these mosquitoes before being used in places like Brazil. They're modified to either be sterile or produce a second generation of sterile mosquitoes or just males. Because remember, we talked about this before. Females are the ones who bite. So if you just produce male mosquitoes, if you have an entire generation where one male can only, when he mates, will only produce other males, then you are essentially eliminating biting mosquitoes. However, believe it or not, this is not without its controversy. Even though dengue cases, a very dangerous virus, are raising in the Florida Keys where they want to release this, there were community meetings in which the stupider members came out to speak against these GMO mosquitoes getting in the way of their natural right to catch a deadly virus. Literally, the term GMO is such a buzzword that people go, wait, there's an invasive. By the way, we don't believe those mosquitoes are native to the Florida Keys. So it's like there's an invasive species there that are giving us a horrible disease. But if the cure is a quote-unquote GMO, which, by the way, everything's a GMO, you fucking idiots. If the cure is a GMO, we don't want it. We want dengue.
Well, I mean, you have to understand, the frogs in the neighborhood eat the mosquitoes.
Yes.
And we want our frogs to eat natural. We don't want them eating GMOs.
Yes to dengue, no to frogs gay.
Yes to dengue, no to frogs gay. I got you. I'll carry this banner for you, Bobby.
All right, Davey, that was good. One out of one. You got three more to go before you get to be the master of I Call BS indefinitely. Article number two, a new report suggests that the Greenland ice sheet has melted past the point of no return. Damien, is this science or bad science?
I initially wanted to say that, you mean, it already hasn't passed the point of no return? Holy shit. So I'm going to say this is science and that we're all doomed. There's no joke. Just go ahead and hug your loved ones. Your children will grow up in a far darker future.
Or I saw a documentary about what could happen where Dwayne Johnson like saves you in a helicopter as LA floods. And that actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I love Jumanji. He was great in it.
Damien, this is science. And what they mean by past the point of no return, it means that it has shrunk to the point that even if global warming stopped tomorrow, even if it started cooling a little bit, the ice sheet would keep shrinking. That's because it shrunk enough that the edges are now in contact with so much warm ocean water that it'll prevent it from reforming, even if it got a little cooler. So we're pretty fucked. This is particularly bad because the Greenland ice sheet melting into the ocean is considered to be the biggest contributor to sea level rise, meaning that's where we're going to get all that sea level rise. You know, that thing that may displace about 1/10 of the Earth's population by 2050.
You know, actually, I've been thinking the fact that this will essentially eliminate Florida as a landmass, this actually might affect American politics to the point where we can start anew from the ashes. We can rise like a phoenix.
Florida is just a bunch of like alligators, invasive large snakes from Southeast Asia, and male mosquitoes.
And dudes on ATVs.
No, they all got flooded out after global warming.
Now they live on fanboats. Fanboats that have been made into houseboats.
All right. Article number three. A new Earth temperature record has been set in Oman on the Arabian Peninsula with the highest ever recorded temperature on Earth, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. We would regularly hit 130 degrees in the hottest place on the face of the Earth, Baghdad, Iraq.
Oh, you would, huh? Interesting.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Phoenix is a city that tries to play with the big boys, and it just can't.
Those of you listeners who don't know is, like, right out of college, I went to go do some work, archaeology work in Phoenix when it was the hottest place on Earth ever. And Damien was on vacation at the time complaining about not having AC working in his paid-for vehicles that he got to drive around in.
I did bad in high school and enlisted in the Army. You did good in high school and were sent on some torture trip to to the sunny yet cool and temperate Phoenix.
And so we have argued ever since about what is hotter, even though I will constantly send him updates of it being much hotter in Phoenix. Indeed, Damien, this actually is false. So far, 3 out of 3. Good job. But not false for the reason you said, which is clearly a lie, because the temperature record was set at 130 degrees in Death Valley, California. Unsurprisingly, it's a holder of numerous other records. Now, we should say that there have been previous claims of higher temperatures. There's one claim from Libya at 134 from like 1913, and one also from Death Valley at the same time at 134. Both of those have since been essentially found to be false. They weren't real readings because they weren't done properly. This has to be done in the shade, about 5 feet off the ground, with no other conditions. In the case of some of the earlier records, we think they happened because things like a sandstorm came through and the friction of the sand on the structure that's shading the thing made it hotter, or in one case, they took it over some asphalt. But in terms of verified highest temperature on Earth with those conditions, Death Valley just took the record at 130. I did a job out in Ocotillo where we had an official, which is Eastern San Diego, where we had an official measurement at 121 one day. That was the highest we ever got. Now, that being said, that's saying
a Baghdad winter.
Well, like all of the hottest temperatures, they come from the southwestern United States, unsurprisingly, because that is where things get the hottest. But you should recognize that just because you're saying the temperature is 130 doesn't mean it is like you're 130 out there. It's actually going to be much hotter. So if you think of 5 feet off the ground and in the shade, first of all, the second you're in the sun, your temperature goes way up. That can easily hit 140 something, 150 if you're in the sun. So that is one thing. The second thing to remember is, and this was true especially for me, Now, Damien was hanging out in, like, air-conditioned luxury vehicles, getting to, like, travel around and see stuff and all that kind of cool stuff.
They were expensive vehicles.
They were very expensive vehicles. I didn't get anything like that. Meanwhile, yeah, I was out hiking around in desert pavement, which is just basically dark-colored rocks. And what we found is, if you go into a bowl of that desert pavement, we were there and it was like, I think it was like 117 or something. And if you're in a bowl of that desert pavement and you take a thermometer in there, it'll be like 150. Because basically all of those rocks that are sitting in the sun, if the air temperature is 130, those rocks are like 165. Like, they're really hot. And they're reflecting that air temperature in. So if you're in like a bowl that is lined with desert pavement rocks and you get inside, the air temperature, it goes up like 10 or 15 degrees. It's fucking crazy. So if you're walking around in Death Valley on that day, it is much hotter. But the actual record, the way they take it, they got that 130 record in Death Valley at 3:41 p.m., which, by the way, I would have thought is too late to be the hottest time of the day. I thought the hottest time of the day would be like 2:45, but I guess it's 3:41 in that case.
You're splitting hairs.
All right. And so, Damien, you are one right answer away from being the master of I Call BS indefinitely. This is a very big day for you. Article number 4.
I don't need your game to validate myself.
Some of the largest and oldest trees in the world, the great redwoods of Northern California, some of which are over 2,000 years old and 300 feet tall, have been completely wiped out by the state's out-of-control wildfires. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. Yeah, there are fires raging all over California, and there's very little the state can do about it because of COVID and for a lot of reasons. But if a redwood falls and nobody's around, that is the only tree that you can still hear for miles and miles around.
Not because it's so big, but just because it has a Lorax-like fictional character that accompanies it and makes a very loud noise whenever they fall.
Yeah, he nut taps me at like 3 a.m. like, hey, care, a redwood just fell. You better care a whole lot, bitch.
Yeah, but it's also like it used to be a noise that like the Indians would know. They'd be like, oh my God, that's it. But we don't know like the natural noises or anything. So like when somebody goes, oh, you know, like when a redwood falls and it makes the sound of like a horny fox having sex. And you're like, what does that sound like?
Yeah, it's moist. I hear moistness. did he come?
All right, Damien. And for the win, it is... unknown. I'm sorry, Damien. This is neither true
Bullshit.
Nor false.
You sack of
this is
crap.
Unknown. Let me explain this. This is a complicated
you
one.
You went off the board. I abstain. Well, then I changed my answer and I abstain. I abstain from this game. I protest you. I protest the system.
Damien, can I ask you a question? Can you handle the truth? If I give you the truth?
I cannot.
Well, at least you admit that. Also, yes, I'm glad you're dead and I hope you burn in hell.
That's, you know what, actually, sugarcoat it more for me.
Straight dramatic movie lines from the 90s back and forth. All right. This is actually unknown. So the fire, the very big fire, has swept through that area, and we still don't know if they survived. This is a big deal. I've been through there, by the way. They're gorgeous. Damien, have you ever been through there? These are the Santa Cruz redwoods, the coastal redwoods.
I have not.
Amazing, because they don't seem like trees. Like it almost feels like you're in a nature version of a downtown, because there's no little plants on the ground because the trees are so big that their canopies block out the light. So there's very few like little shrubs. There's just these giant tree trunks that are sometimes 70 feet in circumference. So they're huge. It just feels like you're surrounded almost by wooden buildings that are shooting up to the sky. It's an amazing feeling. It's a unique, one-of-a-kind place on the face of the earth. And unfortunately, it's also in the middle of the CZU complex fire in San Mateo and Santa Cruz counties. And it has demolished parts of Big Basin State Park where these trees live. So what we do know is that the areas in which they are, the campground facilities surrounding them, all of that stuff has been completely burned to the ground. The park itself completely burned to the ground. The question is whether or not the trees have survived it. You're talking about something that was alive when Julius Caesar was fucking running around Europe and is still alive now. And maybe could have died two nights ago when this fire swept through. It's really, really sad. But there are some reasons to be hopeful. Redwoods have some very good natural defenses to fire. If they didn't, they wouldn't have been able to survive 2,000 years.
Martial arts.
They have really thick bark and, you know, a good root system. They have a core that has a lot of vascular tissue in the inner part of the core to get stuff up to the top of the tree. And that keeps some of the vascular stuff preserved, even in hot fires that burn the outer bark and outer layers. So there is a chance that these or some of these survived. But one thing is for sure, that place will never be the same. I can't take my son to the place that I went to 10 years ago, and that has been pretty unchanged since essentially the local residents stopped logging companies from logging that area like 150 years ago and have preserved it as a state park. So it is really, really sad that this will undoubtedly, I mean, it's either completely gone or a lot of it's gone and a lot of it's damaged to some extent. But these trees are amazing. They're one of a kind. It doesn't mean all the great redwoods are gone. This isn't, for instance, where like Sherman is, the biggest, tallest one and stuff. But this is where a lot of these big old redwoods are still around, still living, super old, super huge, and really, really sad. I can only hope, and I will keep you guys updated, that we find that a lot of these survive and that the park keeps going, because I do want to take my kid there sometime. It is an amazing spot.
Well, as somebody who's Team Fire, we'll get them next year.
Oh, no!
Hey, you know, I support winners. Bandwagon, in the natural disasters, I'm Team Fire. In football, I'm Patriots, Team Brady.
Wait, but if you're Team Fire and you support winners, eventually you lose everything in like a few days. Like, the fires don't last that long, and soon they all burn out.
You know, we just need a sustained campaign of terror. Like, last year, we had a great season. Great season in Northern California. We took out Paradise, California. You know, hey, fire season doesn't last forever. You know, we need downtime. You know, fires have families they got to get home to. They have to train in the off season.
Really? Oh, dear. Well, Damien, I am sorry you could not get that one right. Seems like it was easy enough, but, you know, that's kind of your MO. Come see, come saw. Maybe next time, probably not.
You piece of shit. You piece of crap. You set a trap knowing that this was unwinnable.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was the same old game we've always played. Gave you a great opportunity. You really fumbled the ball on this one, Damien. All right. Well, audience, I'm so sorry Damien fumbled the ball so badly, but I am so happy to have taught you all about how genetically modified mosquitoes will be released in the U.S. for the first time ever, how the Greenland ice sheet has melted past the point of no return, how a new Earth temperature record was set in Death Valley, California at 130 degrees, and how some of the largest and oldest trees in the world may or may not have been completely lost to a fire. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 480.
Bobby, it's 2 a.m. I'm sorry to wake you up. Get in this time machine. We have to stop Florida from sinking underwater. When Florida goes underwater in 2050, it'll become a reverse Atlantis, with the worst of the human trash being spread to the four corners of the Earth.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.